We're going to spend some time in God's Word. No surprise there, right? We're going to start, though, in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Sean and Sam started a teaching series last month on the Book of Psalms and going through quite a few different things concerning Psalms. And one of the things that kind of struck me was how much praise there is to God spoken of in the Book of Psalms. So much praise to God. And just was very clear as to why God wants praise and stuff. But praise is a great thing. Basically, it means to exalt. Connie shared last week on praise and deliverance, and they are tied together. And deliverance is sort of like a natural result of praising God and having God in your life. And deliverance does come when we need it. And so she had showed that praise means to exalt, to extol, to glorify, to magnify. It's to speak well of. And we do it often on a lot of things. We may like a certain product and we talk it up. It's like a praise, you know, it's just speaking well of. And God wants his people to speak well of him. I can understand why. But it's something that is needful for our lives and something that God wants. And why is there so much praise to God in the Book of Psalms? Well, because he's so good. He's so magnificent. He's just incredible. There's nothing like him. You know, the heavens and the earth are his workmanship. They don't compare to him. You know, he's bigger than anything that he's ever made. Incredible. And so he certainly deserves our praise. Today, I'm going to share on praise and distraction. Praise and deliverance is a wonderful thing, but praise and distraction, the good part is the first one, bad part is the second. So we're going to look at a few of these psalms and just read a few of them. Only 100 of them. but just see how much praise comes through in here. So verse 1 of Psalm 145 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible or wonderful acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down or bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh or close unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. A little bit of praise there, and showing why there would be praise, you know, the greatness of God and what he does and who he is. The next psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Verse 7. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Get rid of that guy. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. Can anybody do that? He calleth them all by their names. John and I were talking about remembering names. You know, you introduce yourself to somebody, they introduce themselves to you, and they say your name, their name, and like 10 seconds later, it's like, what was that guy's name? God knows the names of every star. That's quite a memory. Verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who, unless you don't sing well. Sound good. And keep it to yourself. No, it doesn't say that. It just says do it. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that love him, in those that have that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commandeth, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Psalm 149. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. And the last psalm, praise ye the Lord. Pass the tax rebate. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's just really wonderful. So it was somewhat reproving to me, because I'm thinking, you know, I pray and I love God and I do a lot of things that I think are godly. But I ask myself, how often do I praise him for his greatness? You know, he's just wonderful. He's terrific. So, but it's just amazing how obvious it is that God's interested in that and is worthy of praise. I mean, it's just, it can make you speechless. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. So God, is very obvious that God enjoys praise. He should have praise. And he commands everything on earth and in the heavens to praise him. And angels are always praising him. And it talks about in the book of Revelation. You know, they're praising him all the time. And they know what he's like. I mean, they've been around him a long time. And they're still willing to praise him. It's pretty cool. So, what about mankind? Certainly, people should. But sometimes there's a distraction in life, and the words of praise stop flowing out of the mouth because you're not looking at the greatness of God, you're looking at something else. And that something else occupies the thinking, and the thinking stops producing words of praise, and it's not something God wants for anybody's life. But I thought it would be a good example to look at Israel. They're known murmurers. And how they really got to see some of the incredible greatness and bigness and power of God for their own lives, and still forgot to praise, still chose to not praise. You know, we know that they were they went down to Egypt to get food. They multiplied like rabbits. And then they were so abundant in people and strength that the Pharaoh got scared that they might overcome them, take the country away from them. So they enslaved them, and that didn't bless them, I'm sure. And then they got to a point where they cried to God and said, this is terrible. We need help. And God heard their cry. Sent our wonderful Moses to go help God lead those people out of Egypt. And as we know, they walked out with the riches of Egypt. They walked out healthy. They walked out numerous and without any army. to fight. That nobody lost their life trying to fight for freedom. And out they walked out of Egypt. Got to the Red Sea. And just took a little different look. So we're just going to look at some of these verses. Chapter 14, verse 10 we're going to look at. This is, they get, you know, they're probably happy. They're trucking out of Egypt. And they're just, you know, they're just happy campers. And then they get to the Red Sea. And rather than looking at God for a solution, they have a little talk with Moses. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Not really. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So, you know, they stop praising, you know, and speaking of the greatness of God and the bigness of God and the power of God, and just started murmuring, complaining. Just amazing. And then, as we know, Moses put his staff, lifted up his staff, and the Red Sea parted like God said it would, and they walked through. And then when the Egyptians tried to do that, they got a little bath and died. And then the entire strength of Egypt was floating in the ocean or in the Red Sea. Now they're on the other side of that river, and looking at what God just did. And then in verse, we're going to look at verse 30. It says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, and this is one of the psalms that's in the book of Psalms. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And so they sang this psalm, and it was a psalm of praise, and they're all thankful and they're happy. But we roll along to chapter 15, and they're out in the wilderness for not very long. And verse 20 of in chapter 15. Verse 20 says, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, which makes her the sister of Moses as well, took the timbrel in her hand, and all, this is after the, at the end of the song type of thing, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they're out there 3 days and don't find any water. And when they came to Morah, they could not drink of the waters of Morah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Morah, which means bitter. That's pretty good. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, well, what are we going to drink? And murmur means to grumble or to complain. You know, you ever hear anybody complain? Connie said this morning there was some church put a thing out on their front bulletin that said outside. What was it? If you got a complaint, complain to management or something?
That was an old one I said. If you got a problem, take it up with management, and they have an arrow pointing up.
Yeah. So they weren't complaining to God, they were complaining to Moses, but they were complaining. They should have said, hey, we just saw something that nobody ever has seen, and maybe he's got something for us that we'll get out of this. But no, they decide, I'm just going to start complaining. And it wasn't just a couple of them, all of them. Chapter 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. So now they're complaining they're going to starve to death. First they were thirsty, now they're hungry. So as we know, God gives them manna to take care of them. But look how quickly they got distracted from looking at the greatness of God to their particular need at hand, and then start grumbling. Have we ever done that? I know, it's hard to even conceive. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. You know, they grumbled, they complained against God, against Moses. Aaron got thrown in the mix. Aaron probably said, what did I do? Romans chapter 1, and here's the bottom line reason for all this complaining and distraction. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man has no excuse to say, oh, there's no God, I can't see him, because the things that God has created and made show his handiwork, and he will reveal himself to all people. And so he's saying, there's no excuse. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know, man rejected God, and in rejecting God, that's a major distraction from what God has displayed about himself. It's a major distraction, and that's what happens. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Getting distracted from the greatness of God, greatness of his word, greatness of who he is, greatness of what he's done and continues to do, and his promises. Anytime we get distracted from that, the words of praise start to become fewer and fewer out of our mouth. Or at least the words of praise about God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I passed it. Talking to me. This is a man that was a minister in the first century church that got born again. He loved God, he spoke God's word, he ministered God's word, he took care of people, he loved God, and then one day, things started changing, and he got distracted, and this is what it says about him in verse 10. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me. He left Paul. And this is the reason why. Having loved this present world, and then it moves on to other people. So he went from loving God and you know, speaking great things about God and who he is, to all of a sudden switching his allegiance and love to the things of the world. And those type of distractions can hurt a person and ruin a person's life. And we all are tempted to do that, and sometimes there's pressure to do that, but we always just have to decide, I don't know, I see that star up there, or I see how God put the human body together, or I see my eyeball. It's something to bring us remembrance of how big God really is, and stay put. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Distractions, these type of distractions are not good ones. Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ starting his ministry, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, tempted of the devil. And in verse 6, the devil makes a temptation here to him. It says, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. You know, he was given all the power of the world when Adam and Eve shifted locations. And he's had it ever since. And he was willing, or at least saying he was willing, to give it to Jesus Christ if Jesus would just sit, you know, bow down and worship him. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. So he's trying to distract him from looking at the greatness of God to looking at what the devil's got to offer. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the temptation didn't get him to be distracted and start looking at the things, oh, that power, that's nice. Or that money, that's nice. Or that glory, that's nice. He didn't buy it. He kept his eyes on that which is the biggest thing, and that's God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Our whole lives are to be a praise unto God, a glorification, where our lives just exude in living for God. And in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's obviously God's will. He wants our lives to be a praise, a speaking well of, an adoration to God Almighty in word and deed. You know? And lastly, we're going to Psalm 119. You know, it is a choice that we make. We make the choices to look at God, the greatness of him, and speak of his greatness and his goodness and all this wonderfulness, and keep ourselves from being distracted. I think most people have gone through it with children. You know, the little kids, they'll do something wrong. You go to reprove them. You get them to look, stand right in front of you. And often I would tell my kids, and I'm sure you did it, okay, look at me when I talk to you. You know, they're trying to get them to look you right in the eye, and you tell them what you want to tell them. And then they start looking one way or the other. The eyeballs, they're looking at you for a moment, and now all of a sudden, and then you got to bring them back. I love it with Hunter, because Hunter, he's always getting in trouble, so he's always getting going to say something to him. And I tell him, look at me when I talk to you. I'm going to tell you something. And then he's got 2 seconds on me, and he's real obvious. He's looking at something else. And bring him back. And it's funny. But we're the ones in charge of our eyeballs, what we're going to look at. And here are some verses in Psalm 119 that certainly illustrate that. The decisions that we make and then our mouths follow those decisions. It's easy to tell what somebody likes just by listening to them for a while. You know, just be quiet and listen. You'll find out quick. The guy's really interested in cars, or the guy's really interested in plants, or the guy's really interested in whatever. You know, just the way it is. Verse 15, and there are many of them. I just picked a couple. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I picked them up and put them in front of my face. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou hast enlarged my heart. Verse 44. I'm going to have to flip the page. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, and I seek thy precept. I will speak to thy testimonies, of thy testimonies, also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And it's the showing the will of the individual. Is there anybody here that didn't brush their teeth this month? Okay. Anybody forget and didn't brush their teeth last week? She was pointing to you, Kat. It's kind of ludicrous that as an adult, you would, like, maybe you didn't have time to brush your teeth one day, I don't know, but you don't have to be told to brush your teeth every day, right? We might have to tell kids, brush your teeth before you go to bed or when you get up or whatever. But there comes a point where that's just the way you live. And we are at a point where just the way we live is we're going to keep putting this book in front of our face. We're going to keep thinking what God's Word says. And out of our mouth, as just a byproduct, is this, you speak well of God and of God. And lastly, Psalm 57. And it's a great way to live. Like Connie's sharing last week was just terrific. You know, the deliverance that comes from a lifestyle like that. Our lives are so much better as we have gotten into God's Word and walk with God than beforehand. I don't know any believer that said, my life was so much better before God. No. I mean, you know, I've heard people say, well, some things I used to enjoy, I don't enjoy anymore, or something like that. But I don't know anybody that said, I had so much better life before. It's just the way it is. A deliverance, a wholeness. And we read that one, that salvation comes to those who are praising the Lord, praising God. So this one, Psalm 57, verse 7. Says, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And the word fixed there, there's a couple different definitions, but the essence of it is it's established. It's sound. It's set. It's not going anywhere. And that's a choice. And I don't think any of us are going to wake up tomorrow and start complaining to God about some silly little thing. I mean, we may ask him for deliverance or something, but we're not going to turn into a bunch of murmurers overnight. Our hearts are fixed in God's Word. And it's just a wonderful thing. So, I just was really amazed. I hadn't read the end of Psalms in a while, and it's just loaded with the exhortation to praise. So, what a lifestyle. It's really, really wonderful. And it is a lot of fun. And that, you know, it's not just the words, it's our whole lives is a praise to God. So it's just terrific.